Thank you. Thank you. Let's all be seated. Our last remaining case is an ITV case. It's in the matter of the welfare of the child of SLL and JRN. I guess my first question is counsel for the appellant, can you hear us, Mr. Solomon?
I can, Your Honor.
Thank you. And then we have counsel for the respondents. Are there two respondents, or is it just one, the Des Moines Valley Health and Human Services?
That's correct, Your Honor.
All right. Then, Mr. Solomon, you may approach the microphone and just, you may begin and just tell us who you are. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think there we go. There's the clock is ticking. My name is Greg L. Solomon. I represent the appellant, Josie Naich. And may it please the court. At page 3 of the respondent's brief, it provides that Des Moines Valley Health and Human Services, hereafter Des Moines Valley, was not tasked with reunifying Noah Naich, the child, with my client, Josie Naich. That is not strictly correct. Minnesota Statute Section 260, 0.012A provides in pertinent part, quote, to eliminate the need for removal and to reunite the child with the child's family at the earliest practical time, ellipsis, close quote. Also see In Re Children of TAA 702 Northwest 2nd at 703 at page 708, where the Minnesota Supreme Court provided in pertinent part, quote, whether there is clear and convincing evidence that the county made reasonable efforts to reunite the family, close quote. At page 3 of the respondent's brief, in the, quote, facts section, it provides, quote, appellant did not have regular supervised visits with NN, close quote. Josie Naich did have regular supervised visits with Noah Naich. If Josie Naich is not penalized for visits that were missed because he was incarcerated, then he attended about 73% of his scheduled supervised visits. The time that a parent is incarcerated should not be counted against the parent as missed supervised visits. The trial court did not explicitly state in its order dated December 11, 2018, that Josie Naich was not credible during his testimony. At page 10 of respondent's brief, it reads, quote, even if errors were made, appellant makes no argument what the remedy should be, close quote. Errors were made by the trial court, and as written in the conclusion of appellant's brief, the trial court's determination should be reversed and Noah Naich should be returned to the legal custody of Josie Naich, and Cheyenne Litke must not live in their home. Josie Naich and I contend that the trial court erred regarding finding of fact number 106 relating to the timing of the lack of running water and utilities in Josie Naich's home in Mountain Lake, Minnesota. The most important time period in this case was in May 2018, and the water and utilities in Josie Naich's home were working then. And from March 12, 2018, until July 2018, there were only brief periods of time when the water and utilities were not working in Josie Nache's home. At page 14 of respondent's brief, it reads, quote, "The agency did all it could in the face of appellant's obstinacy by telling him NN will not be returned with heat and electricity, without, it must be without heat and electricity," close quote. Des Moines Valley would not have returned Noah Nache to Josie Nache if Josie Nache paid for the electricity bill and the water bill in July 2018 and thereafter. At page 14 of respondent's brief, it reads, "It is likely he will continue to be incarcerated for significant periods of time and unable to parent NN," close quote. This sentence is speculative and not true. Des Moines Valley contends that the trial court did not abuse its discretion regarding the alleged palpable unfitness of Josie Nache. Josie Nache and I contend otherwise. He is not palpably unfit to be a party to the parent and child relationship, and the trial court abused its discretion. Des Moines Valley cites to In the Welfare of J.S., 470 Northwest 2nd, 697, at page 702, that the quality of Des Moines Valley's alleged reasonable efforts must be considered and evaluated. Des Moines Valley's efforts were not very good and were not reasonable.
Mr. Solomon, could I just, I'd like to interrupt you for a moment and return to the issue of the lack of electricity and heat and running water. You are taking issue with the length of time that the district court found those utilities, to just characterize them as utilities, to be off in the home. But looking at the district court order and with respect to Stephanie Johnson's testimony and then the factual findings, this is on your addendum, page 11. It's page 10 of the district court's order. That's where you find the Stephanie Johnson portion.
Yes.
She seems to be the primary source of the dates that these utilities were not working. Is that true?
I believe so, Your Honor. I'm not certain.
Okay. Well, if you just look specifically at her, at the factual findings the district court made with respect to, based on her testimony, particularly on page 12 of your addendum, you know, it does outline a substantial period of time that that Mr. Nache, you know, opted, it seems voluntarily, at least in the district court's assessment, not to have utilities on. And so my question is, because I thought that figured significantly into the ultimate decision made by the court here, are you taking issue with the dates that Ms. Johnson testified to?
Well, I see on page 12 of the addendum, dates of August 2018, September 4, 2018, October 5, 2018, those dates are beyond July 2018, and Josie Nache would stipulate and agree that he didn't turn his didn't pay for his utilities and heat and water to be on after that date. What I am
after
saying,
July.
That's right, okay. After July of 2018.
And why is that? I just want to understand why you believe July to be so significant in this whole case?
Because I believe May 2018, 2 months earlier, is the significant time in this case when Des Moines Valley should have pressured Cheyenne Litke to move out of Josie Nache's home, and Des Moines Valley should have placed Noah Nache into Josie Nache's home. So July 2018 and onward are not significant. And I submit that if Josie Nache had paid for his utilities and heat to be turned on during that time period, July 2018 and on, there is no way that Noah Nache would have been returned to, would have been put in Josie Nache's home alone with Josie Nache.
So you're making the argument that even had he decided to turn on the utilities to pay for them, that the child would not have been returned?
In July 2018 and onward, yes, there is no way Noah Nache would have been placed in Josie Nache's home without Cheyenne Litke living there.
And what in the record supports that proposition?
Because of all the saying no to Josie Nache regarding his requests for Noah Nache to be returned to him. And I would submit there really isn't a lot of record of that during the trial. There really isn't much of a record of that type of testimony.
Okay. Thank you.
Des Moines Valley cites to In the Welfare of JS 470 Northwest 2D 697 at 702 that the quality of Des Moines Valley's alleged reasonable efforts must be considered and evaluated. As I already said, Des Moines Valley's efforts were not very good and they were not reasonable. The act of Des Moines Valley not removing Cheyenne Litke from Josie Nache's home and not placing Noah Nache in Josie Nache's home in May 2018 was a failure to use reasonable efforts on the part of Des Moines Valley.
Mr. Solomon, you've raised that issue twice. I'm curious what basis you believe that it would be an obligation of Human Services to remove someone from your client's home. Why does he not take the steps to remove her if he believes that's a risk to the child?
To remove Cheyenne Litke from the home. First of all, Your Honor, there is the trial court's orders in this case dated May 10, 2018, and February 9, 2018, that required and ordered Cheyenne Litke to find her own place to live separate from Josie Nache, and the May 10, 2018 order also required Josie Nache to obtain his own independent housing. So my argument is that based upon those orders, the trial court should have enforced those orders, and Des Moines Valley and the guardian ad litem should have applied significant pressure upon Cheyenne Littke to move from Josie Nache's home in May of 2018 and place Noah Nache in Josie Nache's home. Josie Nache and Noah Nache and Cheyenne Littke had lived together for about a year and a half from August 2016 until the last day of 2017. And this is despite Josie Nache's incarceration.
Thank you, Mr. Solomon. Your time has expired. You will have rebuttal. We'll now hear for counsel for the respondent, Des Moines Valley.
Good morning, Your Honors. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Nicholas Anderson. I'm the Cottonwood County Attorney, and I'm representing Des Moines Valley Health and Human Services, the respondent in this matter. I intend to pretty much just address whether or not the agency made reasonable efforts to reunify the child with the appellant, as that seems to be what Mr. Solomon had argued today. Whether the county met its duty of reasonable efforts, the court would look at the length of time the county was involved and the quality and quantity of those efforts. It should be noted that the child was removed shortly after his birth. On a previous Child in Need of Protection or Services case, he was out of the home for approximately 6 months on that occasion. On that occasion, Mr. Nache was in prison at the time of his birth. And then when the underlying CHIPS matter occurred in this, in what led up to the termination, the child was again out of the home for approximately 6 months. So the time period was reduced. Given that, the court in its findings indicated that the Family Service Agency did make reasonable efforts. Those included transporting the child to see his mother at treatment, transporting the parents to visitation, helping the mother to get into inpatient treatment, which realistically was trying to get the mother clean and sober was the main focus of this child protection case. Supervising twice weekly visits, supervising referrals for assessments, treatment and services, and facilitating regular and predictable visits. What appellant is arguing is that Des Moines Valley did not make reasonable efforts to reunify the child with Mr. Nache because they should have forced the mother to move out in May and should have placed the child with the father. This argument must fail first, as I believe one of the judges indicated, Mr. Nache owns the home. He could have on his own kicked the mother out. Second, Mr. Nache is a party, and he clearly could have brought a motion to do so or asked for something like that at a review, and I don't believe that that happened. And finally, the argument that he is making would require the court here today to make a factual findings on a review of the record, and this is what was frowned upon in SEP. In SEP, the father had some anger issues and committed malicious punishment to the child, and the mother chose to be with the father over the child, more or less. The district court terminated the father's parental rights, but the Court of Appeals overturned that, indicating that making specific findings like the primary condition in the home requiring correction is the father's angry and violent conduct. Conflicts between the father and mother arose from personality differences. Perceived parenting deficiencies were not so significant that the the county felt the children would be at risk in her care. When that went up for review at the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court indicated that these findings overstepped the bounds as a reviewing court. So I think if the court were to adopt what appellant is arguing, you would be overstepping your bounds and making specific findings that the district court did not make. And as clearly what should happen is the district court should get deference, as they're the court in the best position to see the witnesses and determine what is most appropriate based on how they act, how they testify, et cetera.
Mr. Anderson?
So unless, yes, Your Honor.
With respect to the county's reasonable efforts, that particular statutory ground for termination, of course, it's got to be established by clear and convincing evidence. And so I just want to be clear. I've just, in listening to, tried to rescan the district court's order. Would you agree that the findings the district court made that concern Mr. Netsch, as opposed to Ms. Lidke, really are 105 through 110? Am I overlooking anything else in this order with respect to reasonable efforts? And I, again, so much of the order focuses on Ms. Lidke, but of course here we are dealing with the termination of Mr. Netsch's rights.
Correct. I would agree with that, Your Honor. The main crux with Mr. Netsch and the efforts was to, frankly, ensure that he had water and electricity and heat in his home, and he just did not do that. As I termed it in my brief, I believe it was obstinacy on his part, as he either had a vendetta against the city of Mountain Lake for citing him for having garbage in his yard, or he was upset with the mother for not paying the bill when he was in jail in mid-July.
And Mr. Solomon seems to direct us to May of 2018 specifically, and not, you know, looking beyond that up to the point of trial, which I believe was in November of that year. Could you respond to that?
Absolutely. He's referring to May because that's basically the only time that the heat and electricity was on. It was off when he was in prison when the child was first removed. He got it on for a period of time. It went off in June for a period of time. It got back on in early July, and then it was off from the end of July until the trial. So obviously, that's going to be the relevant part on the appellants, because that's the only time that the heat and electricity was on.
And what did the record establish as to the time frame that they were living in this pop-up camper?
I believe that would have been probably mid-October till the day of trial, end of September, right around there.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Unless the court has any other questions, I don't have anything further.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Anderson. Mr. Solomon, you'll have the last word.
Thank you. Your Honor, the long paragraph on page 12 of appellant's brief lays out the different periods of incarceration of Josie Netsch in prison and jail. I am not asking the court to overstep its boundaries. Josie Netsch largely had water, heat, utilities, electricity in his home between the date he was released from prison, March 12th, 2018 until July 2018. As Mr. Anderson just mentioned, there were some brief periods where the electricity and utilities were off during that period of time, but they were very quickly addressed by Josie Nache. And the heat and utilities were turned back on. Pursuant to In Re the Welfare of the Children of SEP 744, Northwest 2D 381 at page 385, some of the trial court's findings of fact were not supported by substantial evidence and were clearly erroneous. Josie Nache attended many of his scheduled supervised visits with Noah Nache. Josie Nache had a driver's license from March 12, 2018 until shortly before August 28, 2018. During most of this case, he had his driver's license. Then the driver's license was taken away from him shortly before August 28, 2018. Josie Nache and Gina Faber, the social worker, both testified that Josie Nache did call Des Moines Valley from the Cottonwood County Jail in early January 2018 because he had concerns about the safety of his son in the care of Cheyenne Litke. And at that time, Cheyenne Litke and Noah Nache were living in Josie Nache's house. Between March 13, 2018, and November 2, 2018, the first day of the trial, Josie Nache had only two positive tests for illegal drugs or alcohol. He is a recovering methamphetamine addict. Josie Nache's salvage and recycling business amounts to obtaining and maintaining at least part-time employment. Josie Nache and I contend that there was discrimination here by the social services agency and the guardian ad litem. Josie Nache should have been given an opportunity to care for his son alone. Josie Nache, as I've said previously, and Cheyenne Litke and Noah Nache lived together in Josie Nache's house for a year and a half long period from August 2016 until the last day of 2017. I believe that's all the time I have.
Thank you.
I think I have another minute. I'm sorry.
Well, another second anyway. you can sum up your thoughts, Mr. Solomon. Please sum up your thoughts.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This was not the case where Josie Nache was an absent father and had not cared for Noah Nache during his life. there was that 1.5 year period between August 2016 and the last day of 2017 when Josie Naich and Cheyenne Litke together were caring for Noah. That's all I have.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Solomon. Thank you, Mr. Anderson. The matter is submitted. That being our last oral argument of the day, we are adjourned.
All rise.